You are looking at your monthly revenue dashboard. Everything looks completely normal. Your subscriber count is holding steady. The chart is moving up and to the right. And, well, you're feeling pretty good about the quarter. But right under the surface, there is a leak.
Yeah, a really quiet one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It is a slow, quiet drip, and you probably do not even notice it is happening.
And that quiet drip is incredibly expensive. We see it every single week in our audits.
That is exactly why we are pulling out the 2026 Operator Guide to Soft versus Hard Declines today. Let's set the stage here. You see a declined card transaction in your gateway, and the natural reaction is to just assume the card is dead.
Right. You figure it is a lost cause.
Yeah, so you move on to the next customer. But treating every single decline as a final, unchangeable answer is actually a massive unforced error.
The stakes here are very real. Let's speak directly to the audience for a second. If you are a U.S. merchant processing anywhere from $25,000 to $5 million in monthly volume, well, specifically if you operate on a subscription or software as a service model, you are likely leaving 2 to 4% of your monthly revenue on the table right this second.
2 to 4%. That is huge.
It is top-line revenue just evaporating because of mishandled declines. As the senior payments advisor here at My Pay Advisor, my job is to find those leaks. And as our lead analyst, your job is to figure out the math behind them.
Which is exactly what we are going to do. The mission today is straightforward. We know leaving revenue on the table hurts, but the alternative is equally dangerous.
Oh, totally. Blindly retrying decline cards over and over again triggers some very painful Visa and MasterCard misuse fees.
So our goal today is to map out exactly how to read issuer response codes and build a tiered retry strategy. We want you to capture that lost revenue without setting off tripwires and, paying network penalties.
That is the tightrope every operator has to walk. Before you can fix a revenue leak, you really have to understand what the issuing bank is actually communicating to you in the transaction data.
Right, so let's start with the plumbing. What is actually happening under the hood when a transaction declines? Because it feels instantaneous to the customer, but there's a lot going on.
It all comes down to a specific standard. An authorization flow is an ISO 8583 message exchange.
ISO 8583 sounds like a tax form.
Yeah, it sounds highly technical, I know, but it is basically just a universal messaging format that banks use to talk to each other. The wild part is that this entire exchange, spanning multiple institutions across the country, happens within a few hundred milliseconds.
Hundreds of milliseconds. Just think about how many stops that data has to make in a fraction of a second.
Let's trace the actual sequence. A customer enters their card at your checkout page. Your payment gateway packages that transaction data and sends what is called a 0100 authorization request to your acquiring bank.
Okay, so from the gateway to the acquirer.
Exactly. Your acquirer then routes that message through the specific card network, like Visa or MasterCard, directly to the customer's issuing bank.
And this is where the real decision-making happens, right? The issuing bank gets this request, and they have to make a split-second call.
Precisely. The issuer evaluates a massive internal checklist. First, they look at the bank identification number, or BINN status. They check the current account balance.
Makes sense.
They run it through the address verification system, which just means they are checking if the billing zip code the customer typed into your checkout matches the zip code on their monthly bank statement. They check the CVV match on the back of the card.
Like the three digits on the back.
Yep. Then they run the transaction through their own internal fraud scores and velocity rules. After all that math is done, the issuer returns a two-character response code in field 39 of that ISO message.
And if that code comes back as 00, it means approved. The champagne pops and you get paid. But anything else is a decline.
Yes, and we need to look at the broader context of why issuers are so jumpy in the first place. According to the Federal Reserve Payments Studies, card-not-present transactions experience materially higher decline rates than physical card-present transactions.
Because you were just typing numbers into a screen.
Exactly. The Federal Reserve data clearly shows that these online transactions drive the bulk of total card fraud losses in the U.S. Because of that statistical reality, issuing banks are highly sensitive when reviewing online charges.
Okay, so the response code comes back. The network returns it to the acquirer, the acquirer hands it to your gateway, and your dashboard shows a declined payment. But here is the critical piece of the 2026 Operator Guide. Not all declines are created equal.
No, they are not.
The transaction data gives us a clear split between soft declines and hard declines.
That split is the entire foundation of a winning recovery strategy. The division is not about whether the response came back declined. The split is about whether the issuer's reason for declining it is a temporary, fixable problem.
Let's break down a soft decline first.
A soft decline means the underlying account is completely valid, but the current conditions at this exact second blocked the transaction. 51 for insufficient funds, 61 for exceeds withdrawal limit, 65 for activity limit exceeded, and 91 for issuer unavailable.
So the bank is essentially telling you that the door is closed right now, but you are allowed to knock again later.
That is a great way to put it.
And then we have the hard declines.
Right. A hard decline is a permanent refusal. The bank is telling you to pack up and walk away. These include codes like 04 for pickup card, 14 for invalid card number, 15 for no such issuer, 41 for lost card, 43 for stolen card, 54 for expired card, 57 for transaction not permitted, and R0 or R1 for stop payment.
If I am picturing the plumbing here, it feels a lot like cold calling. Retrying a soft decline is like hanging up and trying a busy signal again. You figure they might be off the phone in an hour. But hitting a hard decline over and over, well, that is like stubbornly dialing a disconnected phone number and expecting a different result. Calling a disconnected number repeatedly is not going to magically connect you to the customer. It just wastes your time.
That is a brilliant analogy. But here's the kicker for operators. You do not just waste time. You actually get penalized for calling that disconnected number.
Oh, wow.
Both Visa and MasterCard have strict compliance rules governing how merchants must treat these specific codes. A soft decline may be retried under specific network rules. A hard decline must not be retried under any circumstances.
Which brings us to the operational reality.
Right.
We know the difference between a busy signal and a disconnected number. What actually happens when a merchant's payment gateway ignores that difference and just tries everything again?
It leads to what we classify as the five anti-patterns. These are the five main operational errors costing U.S. merchants significant money right now. We see them in almost every audit we do.
Let's hit pattern number one, retrying R0 and R1 stop payments.
R0 and R1 are network-level instructions. This means the cardholder went directly to their bank and explicitly told them to stop your recurring charge. They bypassed you entirely.
Thanks.
Yeah. Visa has specific stop payment service rules for this exact scenario. If a merchant with just $200,000 in monthly volume retries an R0 or R1 on a mere 0.5% of their attempts, they can rack up over $1,200 a year in Visa misuse of authorization fees.
Wait, really? So you are literally paying network fines to annoy a customer who already went out of their way to cancel. That is a brutal, unforced error. What happens if a merchant just ignores those fees and keeps doing it?
The fees are just the first warning shot. If you keep doing it, you significantly increase your chance of getting an acquirer monitoring program flag.
Which means what?
That is basically network probation. Your acquirer will force you to submit a remediation plan, and if you fail to fix your logic, they can shut down your processing ability completely.
Okay, message received on stop payments. What is pattern number two?
Same second, retries on code 51. Code 51 stands for insufficient funds. We constantly see gateways configured to hit retry 60 seconds after the very first decline.
Wait, if the customer did not have the money in their checking account a minute ago, they certainly do not have it now. Why would any system be programmed to do that?
Usually it is just lazy default coding by a junior developer who treats all failed API calls the exact same way. Hitting retry a minute later just returns another code 51. But worse, it triggers velocity alerts in the issuer's risk system.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, the bank's algorithms look at those rapid-fire requests and might actually downgrade your merchant trust score because you look like a runaway fraudulent script testing a stolen card.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
The bank thinks you are a bot. Pattern number three is the one that always catches my attention during our client reviews. Treating code 05, do not honor, as a terminal decline.
Yes, this is a big one.
I want to pause here for a second because code 05 is a catch-all. The issuer is not explicitly saying the card is bad. They're just giving a vague, generic block. Since the code gives you almost zero information, what specific action can a merchant actually take to clear it rather than just throwing their hands up?
That is the multi-$1,000 question. Code 05 usually means something inside the issuer's risk model fired off a warning, but it wasn't severe enough to warrant a hard fraud block. Skipping the retry on 05 is the single largest source of lost revenue for subscription merchants today.
So what is the fix?
The specific action you should take is triggering a 3DS step-up authentication on your retry attempt.
Just to clarify for anyone who isn't deep in the weeds on this, 3DS step-up authentication is when you challenge the user to prove they are who they say they are, right? Mm. Like sending them a one-time passcode to their phone or having their banking app ask for a face scan.
Exactly. When you force a 3DS authentication, you are accomplishing two things. First, you confirm cardholder intent. Second, you shift the liability for the transaction from the merchant to the issuer. Issuers approve 3DS authenticated retries at a materially higher rate because you have provided the extra security proof they wanted when they threw that initial 05 code.
So instead of just guessing, you force a security check that makes the bank feel comfortable. That is a great fix. Let's look at pattern number 4, failing to enroll in recovery tools.
This one is purely about the physical plastic. The Nielsen report gathers the most extensive data on the payment industry. Their data shows that 5-7% of cards in a recurring book get reissued each year. Think about it. Cards expire naturally, they get lost at a bar, chips break, or the bank issues a new portfolio.
So if you have 1,000 subscribers on your platform, 50-70 of them will get a brand new physical card this year.
Correct. And without network tools like Visa Account Updater, which we call VAU, and MasterCard Automatic Billing Updater, or ABU, every single one of those reissued cards becomes a permanent code 14 or 54 hard decline on their next billing date.
You lose the recurring customer simply because their plastic reached its expiration date.
Exactly.
How do those updater tools actually fix the problem, though? I mean, how does your gateway magically know the new expiration date if the customer never logged in to update it?
It happens in the background. When a bank issues a new card, they ping Visa or MasterCard's central database with the new expiration date or new card number. If you are enrolled in VAU, your gateway automatically queries that central database right before attending the charge. It pulls the new credentials, updates your system, and processes the charge successfully, bypassing the decline entirely.
That is brilliant. It fixes the leak before the water even drips. Mm. Finally, pattern number 5. Relying on flat rate processors with blind retry logic.
A lot of merchants use simple flat rate processors because the pricing is easy to understand, but those platforms often give you two bad choices on the back end. They either retry everything automatically, which triggers misuse fees on all your hard declines, or they retry nothing, which leaves all your soft decline recovery revenue on the floor.
If you are listening right now and you use a flat rate processor like Stripe or Square, you probably think you are immune to network fines because you pay a flat 2.9%. But you aren't immune. Your processor just eating the network penalty temporarily.
Very temporarily.
If you trigger too many misuse fees, they will eventually drop you as a client or raise your custom rates to compensate for your sloppy retry logic.
That is a very important warning. They will not subsidize your bad logic forever.
Okay, knowing the underlying plumbing, the network rules, and the 5 anti-patterns is great theory. But we need to translate this into hard math for the operator listening today. Numbers always tell the real story.
Let's build a real-world scenario. Let's look at a specific B2B software company from the 2026 operator guide. Imagine a SaaS founder. Let's say her company processes $400,000 in monthly card volume. Their average ticket size is $79.
Okay, I am doing the math here. $400,000 in volume divided by $79 ticket. That means her platform is attempting roughly 5,063 transactions every single month.
Right. Now let's apply a standard 12% decline rate, which is very common for B2B SaaS. That gives us 608 decline transactions per month. When we pull her gateway report and bucket every single decline code, we see the mix is roughly 408 soft declines and 200 hard declines.
So the soft bucket has 408 transactions hitting codes like 05, 51, and 91. The hard bucket has 200 transactions hitting codes like 14, 41, 54, and R0. Let's look at the before state. She's using a blind 24-hour retry strategy. The system just hits the button again the next day for every single failure.
Under that blind 24-hour retry logic, her recovery rate is about 18% on the soft bucket. That recovers about 74 transactions, which equals $5,846 in saved monthly revenue.
But because her logic is blind, she is also retrying the 200 hard declines. She's calling the disconnected number.
Exactly. The recovery rate on the hard bucket is a dismal 2%. She saves maybe 4 transactions, or roughly $316. But here is the massive financial problem. That means she had 196 failed hard retries. Every single one of those attempts incurs a Visa misuse of authorization penalty or a MasterCard excessive authorization attempts penalty.
So she is recovering a measly $300 from the hard bucket, but she is paying network penalties on nearly 200 invalid attempts. That is the leaky bucket in action. Her net gain is negligible, and her acquirer is getting annoyed. Now, let's outline the afterstate. We step in, audit her platform, and apply a tiered code-specific logic.
We stop treating all declines equally. Let's start with the soft codes. For code 91, which is issuer unavailable, the new strategy is to retry in 30 to 90 minutes. That code just means a server timed out during the routing process. It is a temporary network glitch. When you try again an hour later, the recovery rate there climbs to 70%.
For code 51, insufficient funds, we stop hitting retry in 60 seconds. Instead, we program the gateway to retry on banking day 3 of the next month.
I'm going to pause on that.
I figured you might. It sounds like a really long time to wait. If a customer doesn't have funds on a Friday, why am I waiting weeks until the 3rd of the next month instead of just trying again on Monday?
Because of how money actually moves in the U.S. economy. You wait for banking day 3 of the next month because you are trying to catch the payroll cycle. Most corporate payrolls are funded at the end of the month, but those funds take a few days to fully clear through the ACH system and become available in the employee's checking account.
Right, the weekend lag.
Exactly. If you hit the card on the 1st, the funds might still be pending. If you hit it on banking day 3, the money is usually settled and available. By timing the retry to the macroeconomic reality of payroll, the recovery rate on code 51 climbs to 55%.
That is fascinating. You aren't just reading the code, you're reading the calendar. What about the vague code 05 do not honor?
For code 05, we retry at 24 hours and then again at 72 hours using that 3DS step-up authentication we discussed earlier to shift the liability. With that security proof provided to the issuer, the recovery rate climbs to 35%.
Now for the hard codes. For codes 14, 41, 43, and R0, we implement zero retries in the gateway. We do not touch them. We just send the customer an automated email asking them to log in and update their billing profile.
And for code 54, expired card, we route those entirely through Visa Account Updater and MasterCard Automatic Billing Updater. By querying the central database before the charge, roughly 60% of those will refresh silently without the customer ever knowing there was a potential issue.
The financial outcome of this targeted shift is staggering. After this founder moves to code-specific logic, her recovered revenue jumps from roughly $6,100 to $16,195 monthly.
And just as importantly, the network misuse fees drop to near zero. She is no longer hitting the issuing banks with invalid attempts.
When you annualize those numbers, the net lift is roughly $185,000 in new recurring revenue. And that figure is after accounting for the minor software costs of running a modern tiered retry engine. She is adding $185,000 to top-line revenue just by listening to what the response codes are actually telling her.
The math proves the value. This is not just an obscure technical exercise for developers. It is a fundamental revenue protection strategy that operators need to own.
The math really is undeniable. We have broken down the plumbing, the anti-patterns, and the financial impact. The final step is giving the operator listening right now exactly what they need to execute this week. We want you to walk away from this deep dive with a concrete action plan.
Here is your operator playbook for this week. First, log into your systems and pull 3 months of gateway decline reports alongside 3 months of processor statements. You need to see the reality of your own data. Look specifically for any misuse of authorization line items on your processor statements that are over $50 per month.
And if they find that?
If you see a number higher than $50, you have a hard decline retry problem that is costing you money.
Second, call your processor and explicitly confirm your enrollment in Visa Account Updater and MasterCard Automatic Billing Updater. Do not assume you are enrolled just because you use a modern gateway. Sometimes it requires a manual opt-in.
Third, set a tripwire alert on your gateway dashboard. You want a notification for any single account getting more than 2 retries within a 30-day window. This is how you proactively avoid triggering the Visa Integrity Risk Program flags.
Finally, before your next processor renewal negotiations, ask them for the exact per-attempt fee they charge for network misuse. Get it in writing so you can model your true costs.
Huh.
This playbook is highly effective right now. Most declined math is recoverable inside a single quarter because the work is mostly classification, not heavy engineering. You just have to bucket the codes and set the rules.
Exactly.
But I am curious about the long game here. This playbook works today because we rely on multi-day retry windows. You get a decline, you wait 24 hours, or you wait for banking day 3. Is this multi-day strategy going to last forever?
That is the million-dollar question. And, well, the short answer is no. The landscape is shifting under our feet right now.
Because of instant payments.
Right.
Right. The Federal Reserve recently launched the FedNow service. We are slowly moving toward a world of instant account-to-account settlement in the U.S.
Exactly. I want everyone listening to consider how that macroeconomic shift might eventually eliminate the multi-day retry windows you currently rely on for card-not-present transactions.
When settlement is instant and final, operators will be forced to rethink authorization timing entirely. Your strategy will have to adapt when the luxury of waiting 3 days to retry a busy signal disappears completely. It is something to keep an eye on as you build your payment stacks for the future. We will keep tracking it here. Until next time, check your dashboards, check your codes, and stop calling disconnected numbers.